on 9:30 on a Friday morning, and that means it's time for Capital Call, brought to you this morning by Phillips 66. And I get the opportunity to talk with our legislative team, and Earl Sears, at least so far, unable to make it in. We'll see if he pops in through the program. But let's start off with Travis Dunlap. Good morning. We'll keep it in the house for a while.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice of you to say. Thank you, Charlie, for having me, and thanks for the sponsor. We always want to thank Phillips 66. So this week was an important week.
Yes.
This was deadline week for committee work in the House of Origin. And so the Senate committees are done with their Senate bills, and the House committees are done with their House bills. And I always laugh because we tend to, American culture in general, but also in our places of work and at the Capitol, we tend to use very strong language to talk about certain things. And so we talk about bills dying and killing bills, and it seems like it could be a very violent place.
Well, and just an editorial comment on most news coverage, every problem that we have gets elevated to crisis level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there are lots of crises around, and there are lots of crises at the Capitol as well.
Some real, some imagined, and I'll leave that editorial comment alone.
Well, that being said, all of the bills that I was able to work on are still alive. And so that's my good news today. I'm extremely elated. Several of my bills died, to use our term, but they were bills that I kind of expected to die or had been worked out early in negotiations to be ones that I did not intend to move forward. And so this week, I'm breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief this weekend. As I've managed to get all of my bills through committee that I wanted to get through committee, which is good. Let me tell the listeners about, I can talk about several of them, but I'll talk about the most recent one to survive. And that was on Wednesday at the Appropriations and Budget Committee. I presented a bill that deals with the Zero Emission Energy Tax Credit. Okay, the Zero Emission Tax Credit is was something that was started by Governor Keating way back in 2002, and that was intended to encourage investment into Oklahoma by the wind industry or other zero emission energy companies. That tax credit has worked. We have a very large number of wind farms in Oklahoma now, plans for even more wind farms to come in. But because of that tax credit, we have put Oklahoma taxpayers on the line for paying out huge sums of money. And so as a means to protect taxpayers from ever-increasing amounts of payment to these companies, I suggested that we stop the program on July 1st of this year. That coincides with our fiscal year in the state budget. I also suggested in the same bill to cap the payouts of those credits at $15 million per fiscal year. Now, that in this year can save us up in between $40 to $50 million in potential payouts. I say potential, and I speak in round numbers, because we don't know how many credits will be claimed. And in fact, in my bill, there's a reporting requirement as well, so that the companies will report how much power they've produced and consequently how much credit is able to be claimed by them. And so that passed the A&B subcommittee, the A&B full committee on Wednesday by two votes. So
It's like taking college classes, pass, fail. The number doesn't matter, pass or fail.
It passed. And so I was a little bit surprised there were as many no votes as there were, but it passed. And so I'm very happy about that. And we're going to move that forward. I got a Senate author. Senator Quinn out of Claremore agreed to be the Senate author on that. And I understand that he's very passionate about the issue. And so I'm looking forward to doing this. I think it's going to be a great good for Oklahoma.
And just as a side comment, if I want to make sure that I get it correct, you were kind of coming at it from the philosophy that the incentive was needed to start the ball rolling down the hill, but at some point in time, you need to stop pushing the ball down the hill.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Senator
Daniel.
That's
exactly right. And continuing on that same subject, before I forget, I want to tell every public school teacher and relative of a teacher, you need the legislature to roll back these wind tax credits, and you need it to be done this year. This is the source of the first year of a teacher pay raise. Now, Travis, pardon me, Representative Dunlap has done an excellent job of explaining a program that Governor Keating himself said may have been a good idea at the beginning, but he came out with a letter this week saying, had he known, he would never have supported this. The wind tax industry, the zero emission, are beginning to run commercials saying, tell your legislators not to vote a tax increase on wind. They aren't paying taxes. We're paying them. But of course, if you reduce their credit or sunset their credit in a clever way of messaging, which is what they're doing, you could say it's a tax on them.
In that they will pay the tax that was originally due that was not claimed.
Right. Yeah. And really what this means is lowering the tax credit is that those who've invested in those particular wind farms, they won't take home as much. But we're paying them. And as Representative Dunlap said, the industry is established. And with this huge Clean Line project going all across the state, there's a great desire to hook on to that project because there are customers waiting in other states. So again, I say, if you're a teacher or a relative of a teacher, because of what Representative Dunlap said about how close this was in the House, please call your legislators and say, we understand the way to get a teacher pay raise this year is to roll back these credits. We need your help. In the Senate, sitting as an appropriations committee, all 48 of us, it was unanimous. So the Senate gets it. Now, we need to start perhaps calling our brethren in the House and saying, guys, gals, we got to do this. Senator Quinn is, we'll talk about it as the day is long. In fact, the bill that we passed this week was even more strict than Representative Dunlap's bill. So again, I say this needs to be done. We are working on other tax credits. There was a Transparency Act for wind. There's a tax credit task force. Anything we in the Senate can do to put a microscope on all these ways that we incentivize, exempt people in this recessionary period to dial some of that back. For us, of course, we finished our committee work this week, and I notice on our schedule that next week we will start meeting morning and afternoon in the Senate chamber to begin to plow through several hundred bills. It's been a very, I think, efficient process that we've gone through, and just keep coming back to wind because that's going to be a very big issue in a year when the revenue shortfall is as significant as it is because, again, it's a shortfall in people's pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dunlap.
Yes, well, I'll move on to a different topic now. I want to pick up on what I talked about 2 weeks ago, which was what I call the Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Prevention Act. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I'm elated today is that that bill also passed out of the Judiciary Committee in the House. And I've gotten some other press coverage on it, and so I'm very happy that people are becoming more aware of this issue. But this is the way I see the issue. My bill is a very modest approach. In fact, the chairman of the committee in which it was heard asked me to make it a little bit more modest so he felt comfortable hearing it and having the and moving it forward. So, of course, I needed to do that. That's part of the negotiation and legislative process. Now, I believe that there's a double standard. This is the way I look at it. It's a double standard. In our free market, we walk around with the protection from our state. The state obscenity laws gives us the protection of walking around our free market economy that is in brick and mortar fashion and not being exposed to obscene material. We have blinder racks in all of our stores if there is obscene material available to people. We have a new kind of market now. It's a digital market. It's we interface with in our world through the online medium. So I believe that the least restrictive means to ensure the marketplace stays free, but also the public stays protected from this harmful material, is to require that filters be put onto internet devices. This is the bill that I passed recently is an opt-in bill, and so we're giving people the opportunity to opt in to a filter requirement on their phones. This is Something I'm very excited about. It's gained a lot of attention in recent weeks because of Ashton Kutcher. He's a well-known actor, if listeners don't know who that is. And he has taken up this issue as a cause and has testified before congressional committee. But also President Trump had a meeting in the Oval Office with advocates against human trafficking. And he specifically referenced the fact that human trafficking is made worse by, and I quote, what is happening on the internet. And he didn't specifically reference what I reference in my bill, obscene material online. But I was very much under the impression that that's what he was talking about. So I appreciate the fact that he is honed in on this issue and that he's bringing attention to the need for this. And then it's also gained attention because Georgia, Florida, and one other state, I'm going to forget which one, passed an even stronger version of the bill than I passed out of committee. And then there are three states who have declared pornography as a public health crisis. And that's the way we need to understand it. And I'm going to modify and say that the crisis, in the sense I use the word crisis, is not the sense that the news organizations use the word crisis. I think it's actually a crisis, excuse me, because of the numbers that we see of people accessing it on a monthly basis, and then the consequent health, our problems that it causes in our brain health, in our reproductive health, our family health, our relationship health. So I really want to attach a strong meaning to the word at that point.
Okay. Again, Senator Daniels.
All right. And then we also talked about education choice and reform this week.
If you didn't bring it up, I was going to.
Well, that's right.
Because there was news coverage of a bill you co-authored.
Right. Along with all the bills that we have passed in the Senate Appropriations Committee and the Education Committee, making it easier for districts to spend building funds, making it easier for districts to collaborate with other districts for savings, all sorts of things to try and give more flexibility to local school districts. This education savings account choice bill was proposed, didn't get voted on, so it's an issue that continues to live, to use the live die.
Yep.
Vocabulary. But anyway, this was a bill supported by the State Chamber of Commerce and the Oklahoma Educated Workforce Initiative. And this would have allowed the most vulnerable of our kids and families, particularly those who are homeless and those who are at the top of the free and reduced lunch qualifying scale, meaning families of four making less than $44,900 a year, to access a portion of the state allocated funds for their child and leave a portion of it also in the school funding formula. Allow them to look for options if they feel their child is in need of a different educational experience for a variety of reasons. It could be academic, it could be the school, it could be bullying, it could be your kids are running with the wrong crowd and you need to get them out of that situation and you can't afford to do it. Particularly our homeless population, we've got a special school in Oklahoma City called Positive Tomorrows that is just for homeless children. So we tried, and we got the discussion going, and the people we were trying to help were very grateful, and but we didn't do that. And so we'll go back to working. The other thing about the bill was that it could not have been enacted without a teacher pay raise, because teacher pay raise is first and foremost. So we go back to working on those bills that have been passed out of committee, and we will try our very best to see those things through. And of course, we are all hoping and praying that the economy, which is not under the control of the legislature, begins to turn around. And so that's where we are with that. And as I said, we start next week going into session and beginning to pass more bills. We passed Real ID.
Mm-hmm. And the governor signed it yesterday.
Yes, she did. And I supported it because it was an opt-in. You have
right.
to go, you have to want it to go get it. I know it wasn't perfect. It was very interesting to hear the debates of my colleagues who've been working on it for several years and the frustration about whether or not what they say they need in terms of money to set up the program could also have been padded so there's extra revenue. So we're going to go back and look at that next year, because this is not a time to be dinging Oklahomans any more than is absolutely necessary. But that kind of wraps up
Real ID, just real quick, I want to make sure that listeners, I had some questions at a gathering last night, so I want to get this information out. This seems a good time to do it. It really has to do with verifying the information that's put on your driver's license, your date of birth, and other items that are like some of the things that we would have to do with a passport, to send a copy of a birth certificate or something to say, yeah, this really is you and it's accurate information.
That's correct. I think the extent of the background check is more comprehensive
right. In
order to become Real ID compliant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's any more difficult to apply for a license in terms of the documentation.
I don't believe so either.
But Representative Dunlap knows more of those details than I do.
Yeah.
I've been trying to follow that very closely because I know a lot of people with privacy concerns mm-hmm. on that. And what she said is accurate, but I don't know that I can go into a lot more detail. But I will mention, Senator Daniels said we don't control the economy from the legislative standpoint, and she's right, we don't. But I do, and I know she agrees, believe that as a legislature we can align our state policy with good economic principles. And
you can encourage behavior, you can't make it happen.
And,
yeah.
Yep, that's right. And so we are on the path to do that. We have a lot of discussions in the state right now about taxes, and I want to make sure that my constituents are put at the forefront of that conversation.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the 15-minute session, and yes.
Happy birthday, former Senator John Ford.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Had I realized that, I would have tried to have some version of happy birthday queued up.
I only know it because I listen to KWN in the morning.
Well, I was busy at that time, so I missed it. Again, that's our Capital Call program on 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Phillips 66.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station, where she could take a rest and get her best friend Muffy a bowl of water. And while Jim came to fuel up his car, he realized he needed some fuel himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we'll be here, fueling the neighborhood with performance gas and just about everything else. Phillips 66, proud to be here.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the